welcome to our program. In our last message, we were looking at some of the introductory remarks of Solomon. And now today in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12, we begin his personal testimony. Stay tuned. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 12, Solomon said, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. We're going to look at it in a minute. Before we do, listen to this message and song day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares, He fain would bear and cheer me. Protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. In every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, ere to take as from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. The promised land.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 12, Solomon begins his personal testimony. He said in verse 12 through 14, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now, first of all, he said, I was king. Now, as a king, he had position, he had prestige, and he had power. Man today thinks, boy, if I could have all of those things, I'd be happy. Position, he had authority, he had the right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. He had prestige, he had a widespread respect and admiration from around the world. Even the Queen of Sheba came and she said, the half has not been told. Not only position and prestige, but power, the ability to direct or influence the behavior of others. He had all of that. He said, it's vanity and vexation of spirit. He said in verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. We have the wonders of the world recorded in 2019, their new list, the Great Wall of China, and the Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro, and Machu Picchu, and the Roman Colosseum in Rome, and the Taj Mahal in India, and Petra in Georgia, and the Great Pyramids in Egypt. If we could just take off and had all the money that we could afford to just go and look at all of those things next year, and when we got to the end of that, if we were honest like Solomon was, we would say it's just vanity and vexation of spirit. Vanity here means it's transitory and unsatisfying. Vexation means it's a feeding upon or a grasping at the wind or a smoke. No, the songwriter has put it together very well when he said the world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You can search the whole world over, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. It's interesting, he said in verse 15, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. He said there's a lot of things that need to be fixed out there, and I think he had a desire to help those who were in need, but he saw both the disorder and the incompleteness of human actions and also saw his inability to rectify them. Paul the Apostle put it this way. He says, we have no dominion over your faith. We're simply helpers to your joy. But he couldn't fix it, and neither could Solomon. Neither can you and I. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Well, we read here in verse number 16, he said, I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience and of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit, and in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increases sorrow. Now, first of all, he said, I commune with my own heart. That was part of his problem. We read about David. God said in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. But we read about Solomon and his own testimony. He said, I commune with my own heart. And so one's going to get the heart of God. One's going to say, look, I'm going to do it my way. And you look here and you see the word I am come to great estate. He didn't come to great estate. That was of God. He said, I have gotten more wisdom than all. And he didn't get more wisdom than all. That was a gift of God when he prayed for it back there when he had his focus on the Lord. And once again, I think this is the end of his, well, it's definitely the end of his life, but I think in his mind he's saying, he's looking back. This is past tense. I don't think he feels that way now, or he wouldn't be saying it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. But he's saying, this is what I did wrong. I thought I got all this wisdom. He didn't get it. Then he said again here, in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Well, we see here that, again, he was trying to get things fixed in the power of the flesh and get the knowledge and how to do it, and that just comes to more sorrow. There is a godly sorrow, the Bible says, that worketh unto repentance, but that's not the kind of sorrow that he's talking about here. Well, as you go down through chapter 2, it would be an interesting study. Just see how many times you see the word I. You'll find the word I 87 times in Ecclesiastes, where he's talking about himself. And he said, my, that word is 22 times, and me 17, and mine another 9. The focus here is, he's saying, I had a complete focus on myself. Verse 1 of chapter 2, he said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. Now the word myrrh here has been translated joy 44 times. It has been translated gladness 31 times. He said, I'm looking for joy. I'm looking for gladness. The word enjoy is found 4 times in Ecclesiastes, and pleasure. He said, I'm searching after pleasure. He said 3 times. But he said it was all vanity, and as we said, that was just like grabbing at the smoke. He said in verse 2, I said, laughter, it is mad. And of myrrh, what doeth it? Laughter. What's wrong with laughter? We are told that laughter is the best medicine there is. And it is a good medicine. It boosts immunity. It lowers stress. It decreases pain. It relaxes our muscles. It can prevent heart disease. It can add joy to life. It can ease anxiety and tension. And it can improve our moods and help us recover from difficult situations. It can strengthen relationships, attract others to us. It can help diffuse conflict. It can promote group bonding. It can do a whole lot of things. It's good medicine. So why did Solomon say, I said of laughter, it is mad? Well, he's not saying you shouldn't laugh. He said in Ecclesiastes 3:4, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. But that list that we're looking at here about what laughter will do for us, that list is basically physical. And the Bible says that we are a spirit, a soul, and a body. And Solomon is focusing on the physical here, and the soul and the body and all that list that laughter is a good medicine. And he's saying, as far as the spiritual situation is concerned, he said, laughter is mad. In Ecclesiastes 3:4, Solomon said, sorrow is better than laughter. Why would he say that? For by sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Now we're looking beyond the body and the soul here. We're looking to the spirit of a person that's walking with the Lord. And he can honestly say sorrow is better than laughter in the long range and in the things that really matter, having to do with the spirit. We are a body, we are a soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. But here, sorrow is better than laughter if you get it into the spirit life. For instance, Romans 9 and verse number 2, Paul said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So Solomon's focus was on his mind, his will, his emotions, even his body. Paul said, I have continued sorrow in my heart for others. He wasn't looking to get happiness for himself like Solomon was doing all through this portion of Scripture. Paul said concerning sorrow in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. And so once again, we're at the end of Solomon's life here, and he's given his testimony of previous times. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 26, he gives a list of things. He said, I sought in my heart to give myself to wine. He said, I had great works, verse 4. I built me houses. I had vineyards and gardens and orchards and planted trees. I made me pools, he said in verse number 6. I got servants. I got great possessions. Verse 9, I gathered silver and gold and peculiar treasures. I was great and increased more than all that were before me, he said in verse 9. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not back from them. And what did he say on that? Verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on all the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Under the sun, vexation of spirit. See, Solomon said all was vanity and vexation of spirit because his focus was under the sun. Paul the Apostle said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Well, in our next program, we're going to look at the wise man and the fool. He said it here in verse 15, "Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise?" We're going to look at that in our next program. Be sure and tune in.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Of His precious blood's atoning, then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming. Plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angel singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song